We traveled in silence, following the creek past those high bluffs just east of the water gap, around the big horseshoe bend, and through a place where the bottom had grown up in willers and small cottonwoods. I noticed that Drover stayed upwind from me and kept his distance. That just goes to show what a crude instrument his nose was. He couldn't appreciate the coyote love potion, which was fine because it wasn't meant for jugheads like him. Around noon, I altered course and turned south. We made our way through the underbrush and came out just below the ranch house, a long cement building with a flat roof. It was a good thing that I had already disposed of Rufus. Otherwise, I would have been challenged at this point and would have been forced to whip the ranch's number one guard dog. Not an impossible feat by any means, but it would have distracted me from my primary mission. Up ahead in a wide grassy flat, I saw a dog. My heart leaped with joy until I realized it was Plato, not Beulah. It appeared that he was out practicing his bird stuff, pointing, I guess they call it. He was creeping through some tall grass, had his nose stuck out on one end and that long tail stuck out on the other, and he was paying no attention to ranch security. I decided to give him a little thrill. I gave Drover the sign for shut up and stay behind me, and we started sneaking up behind the bird watcher. Plato had just gone into his point and froze, with his tail thrown out like a stick, his ears cocked, and one front leg up in the air, when I walked up behind him.
Chirp! Aye!
His point fell apart. He flew in five different directions at once, squalled, and barked once as he headed for the house. He'd sprinted about 15 yards when he figured it all out, and then he came back.
Oh, thank heaven it's you, Hank.
What did you think it was, a giant bird?
That thought did cross my mind, but my main concern was that Rufus might have come back on the place. He's an awful brute, and often torments me when I'm out. Do you fellas smell something dead? Or is it a skunk?
It's Hank. He's wearing some new perfume because he came over here to...
I'll do the talking, Drover. You work on suffering.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank heaven it's not a skunk. I simply refuse to get involved with those things, and yet I feel so guilty when one comes on the place. Do you see my point?
Where's Beulah?
I beg your pardon? Oh, Beulah, yes. Yes, I know where she is, but in all candor, Hank, I'm not sure.
I showed him some fangs and let a growl rumble up from my throat.
Where is she? Do I hear you saying that you want to see Beulah? Is that it? My only point is that she might not want to see you, Hank. I'm sure you...
I growled again, louder this time.
Okay, I think we understand each other. You'll find her over by that big elm tree.
Thanks.
But I hope you'll try to understand my position, Hank.
I started walking off, but then I stopped. Exactly what is your position?
Well, briefly stated, Hank, and taking it one point at a time, number one, it appears to me that...
Never mind. We'll study on that some other time.
That's fine, Hank. I'll be over here working out, and if there's anything I can do, you just let me know.
Plato went back to his bird pointing, and I headed for the elm tree. All at once, I noticed that Drover was following me. I told him to scram and go to work on his character development.
Oh, Hank, just let me go over and say hello to Beulah.
Promise you won't make a spectacle of yourself? You'll say hello and then get lost?
He promised.
All right, just this once.
We trotted over to the tree. I didn't see her at first, but then there she was, over on the shady side. And mercy, my poor old heart went off like a string of firecrackers. There was that fine collie nose, the perfect ears, The small brown eyes, the soft breeze blowing her flaxen hair. I had to stop a minute to rest, and Drover, dang his soul, went streaking over to her. He started jumping up and down and spinning in circles.
Hi, Beulah. Gosh, you're so pretty I can hardly stand it. I came all the way over here just to see you. I think I'm in love with you, and if you think you might love me...
It only took me a few seconds to restore order once I got there, but by then the damage had already been done. Drover had made a fool of himself, and naturally that was a reflection on me. I growled him off and sent him on his way. Then I turned to the lady of my dreams. Hi, Beulah.
Hello, Hank.
Our eyes met, and I knew that the old magic was still there. In that honey-smooth voice of hers, Beulah said...
He's cute, isn't he?
Huh?
Drover's such a darling little...
Her eyes widened. She lifted her nose and moved her head in a half circle.
Do you smell something?
I had her now. She would be putty in my hands. Yes, Beulah, and I can reveal its source. What you smell is an exotic love potion, known only to the wild coyote tribes and passed down from generation to generation since the dawn of time. Risking death and fate's too horrible to mention in polite company, I stole the secret formula from a band of savage coyotes. And Beulah, I did it just for you.
Oh, Hank, you...
She moved upwind.
You shouldn't have done that. Why, you might have been...
Killed? Maimed? I moved upwind. Dear lady... To die in your service would be an honor of which I am unworthy of which. She scooted around upwind. Guess she was afraid of being overwhelmed.
But honestly, Hank, fighting coyotes, why, they're very...
Dangerous? Deadly? Ferocious? Yes, my lady, all of those things. I slipped around upwind. But with the memory of your lovely face etched on my heart... My only fear of death is that I might not see you again.
Oh, Hank, you do carry on, don't you?
She moved upwind. Yes, my dear lady. It isn't my usual nature to be loving and poetic. I moved upwind. As you very well know, my years of combat and detective work have given me the outward appearance of steel. But beneath that shell of armor... Lie the gentler emotions known to ordinary dogs. She got up and moved upwind.
Hank, are you feeling all right? You don't have a fever, do you?
Yes, I have a fever, fair lady. And I admit it without shame. I moved upwind. I mean, I had to give that perfume a chance to do its stuff. It's a fever of the heart. And some people would even describe it as love.
Oh, my, how nice. But, Hank, I must admit something to you.
She got up and moved. I know what you're going to say, my Petunia. How many tortured nights have I spent dreaming of the time you would say those words to me? Ach, there's no pain to compare with the ache of unblemished love. She moved upwind.
Hank, I don't know how to say this.
Yes, my tulip, I have the same problem. And I moved. We spend so little time speaking the language of the heart that we find it hard to say those three simple words. Am I right, my perfect rose? Three simple words?
Yes, Hank, three simple words, but...
She moved. I moved. Just say 'em, Beulah. Out with 'em, and we'll go plunging into the unknown.
All right, Hank. Here goes. You smell awful.
Huh? She moved upwind.
I'm sorry, Hank. I wish I could think of a nicer way to put it, but you don't take hints. And I just can't relax and enjoy myself when I feel I'm sitting beside a skunk.
Yes, I see. Then you might say that the magic perfume hasn't worked on you.
She nodded.
Which might explain why you've been moving around so much.
She nodded.
Almost as though you were trying to, well, stay upwind of me.
I'm sorry, Hank. I know you went to a lot of trouble to get your secret potion, but it just doesn't work.
That's bad news, Beulah. I was counting on it.
But you don't need secret potions. What I like about you is you. Can't you see that?
No, I can't. I really can't. I mean, I'm such a big lunk. I'm awkward and clumsy. I never know what to say around a woman.
I think you'd do very well.
No, I don't. My tang gets tangled when I try to talk to you, and everything comes out wrong. And I know there are other dogs in the world who are much better looking.
Now you stop talking that way. You're talking about a good friend of mine. You're, well, maybe you are a little awkward sometimes, but I know you're sincere. And yes, maybe there are dogs with more refined manners and features, but in your own rough country way, you have a certain, well, charm.
I studied on that for a minute.
You know, you're right, Beulah. I really do have a lot of charm. And I had it a long time before I tried rolling on a darn skunk.
Yes, but...
And one of the things I've always admired about you, my peach blossom, is that you look beneath the surface and find the fruit amidst the thorns, so to speak.
But, Hank, I must tell you...
Hush, my cactus flower. You needn't expose those fragile words to the hot winds of this unfeeling world.
Hank, you had better listen.
I am listening, my prairie wine cup, to the strains of a song that's been echoing through the corridors of my soul for many months. And now you'll hear it, sung for the first time by the dog who wrote it for his one and only true love.
Very well, Hank. If you wrote a song for me, the least I can do is listen to it.